Hey everyone, it is an early Saturday, and a couple of things to note about this episode from the Pandemic Sessions Part 3. One is that everyone says never release a podcast on the weekend, and as I record this, it's a Saturday AM, and I'm going to release this shortly after I'm done recording this intro. So I'm breaking that rule, because like I say in this episode, I am on an RPP schedule. That is a rock, paper, podcast schedule. I'm going to do as many episodes as I can. I'm going to release them as soon as they're done, or at least the next day. And that brings us to two. This episode has Shane Presley, the Rock Paper Podcast. Shane was listening to one of our episodes, and he sent a text and said, "Hey, man, I've got a lot of free time that I've never had before. And I'd come on." So I said, "Man, if you're willing to do it, I'm willing to do it." And we set one up for a day or two later. So that was what this episode was. The last thing I'm going to tell you about this episode is that I don't want to make too many excuses, but the program Audacity that we use to record the podcast is the functionality is different between the old laptop and this laptop. And the old laptop, when you hit record, it would automatically start a new track for you. On this one, it does not do that. It tries to keep going on the previous track, even if there's no space on that line, i.e. I had the cursor somewhere else in it. So there's a point to where the dogs, and you're going to hear that as I do this, the dogs kind of barge in, because my daughter lets the door open, and I say, "Hey, go," and then Shane's going to start talking again. What you missed was me making my one joke about how I'm worried. Well, first, you missed the "We Are Back." So this is going to be the first episode ever, I think, without a "We Are Back" at the beginning. And then second, what you miss is Shane, me asking Shane or telling Shane that I'm more worried about him than anyone than these shelter at home times, because that guy has a handful of jobs, records minimum three episodes of releases. And I basically asked him, I said, "Hey, are you surprised that you in fact have a wife at home?" So it's, and I say it much more exaggerated than that. Regardless, you're not going to hear the joke. So here's what's going to happen. It's just going to start, there's going to be a jump, and Shane's just going to randomly start talking about having free time. But what follows is a very good episode, a very fun episode. We talk about Tiger King. We talk about our moms a little bit, and then we talk about local musicians, how to support them, local restaurants, breweries, and things of that nature. And anyway, here it is, Pandemic Sessions, part three, and that is a rock paper lockdown. So after the bomb, you're gonna hear the episode. Thanks.
That was on Showtime for him.
I don't think so.
And well, that was good. But yeah, outside of that, the fake series, or the I don't know if it was on Hulu, Amazon, but it's actually a series of guys playing them and stuff, like, you know, the life of Wu-Tang or whatever.
All right.
I never watched that either, but I just want to see it. Hold on.
Up until the other day, so it has been nice to have a lot more free time to spend at home. Just hanging out, catching up on. We watched a couple of shows together and everything else. So
now, the other thing I do want to say too before we start, apparently we believe that Corona can be killed with intense heat. So, and we're very stingy when it comes to turning on the utilities. And it's like a million degrees right now out, and we have no AC on in this house. Right. My wife apparently has a fan blowing. So if you hear us slowly start to slur our words and pass out, it's not that we were drinking. It's that heat stroke has set in, and we did not. Plus, you have come fully dressed to play an entire hockey game.
Yeah.
So you are much like Kevin Smith. You are dressed for hockey.
You know, you got to always be prepared, man.
Now, you did say, and I want to get into the Netflix stuff, because this is one of the rare times you come on that you're not really promoting anything.
Nah, yeah, I just thought it'd be fun to hang.
And yeah, you texted after I went to bed one night after you'd heard the episode. It was like, "Hey, I got nothing to do right now." So, and I'm sure some people know that you do work for a school system. Mm-hmm. And so up until this past week, you were still working, right?
Right. Yeah. They had us going in and disinfecting and stuff. So we're trying to get, But then the announcement came out that we're not going back till at least like April
27th. Yeah. Now.
And so I guess they just said, you know.
Now, is there a chance that you would go back before, if they say we're going back, the kids are going back to school on the 27th, would right. you go back the week before to help?
Probably go do some kind of disinfecting and things. And they got us on, we're technically on call at the moment. So like they can call us any day and have us come to work. But
well, to be almost, I mean. So I just found out today, I got a nice little letter from my corporate, and it had the guidelines from the government, what they can say, each, and it's got each state's breakdown of what is an essential personnel. And luckily for me today, I found out I am essential to the infrastructure of this country, so my job's safe, which I'm a salesman anyway, but it's for building material products, which there is some sense to make to it, but it's pretty surreal to go from working as much as you do, all jokes aside, to being told, hey, yeah. we'll call you if we need you.
Right.
It's not yeah. like you're working at a retail shop. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like it's 5 days after first of the year and yeah. you're done being Christmas help.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, and yeah, not unlike anything I've ever been a part of. I mean, just.
I don't think anybody. I think they all say, you know, you hear some of the people say, you know, our grandparents lived through. Some people in this country have lived through two world wars, and they know what it's like to bunker down. And then there's some people that said, you know, there was the Depression, and there was the Black Monday in the 80s, and then there was 9/11. And you know, I can't speak to any of it, but really 9/11 on, because that's, you know, I mean, yes, I was alive for Black Monday, but from 9/11 on, I mean, nothing's like this. This is nothing. And it's right. one of the things that's weird when people talk about the economy and how it's going in the tank and will it rebound? I mean, it's literally only in the tank because we're not working. Mm-hmm. And I'm on board with not working, not because I want to slack, but, you know, we're number one because, by God, the United States will not be second fiddle to anybody. We have the most cases now. Not the most deaths yet, but, you know, and the other thing people say, they're like, well, we didn't freak out when 12,000 people died of H1N1. Do we want 12,000 people to die? I mean, right. like, it doesn't seem like that's a, let's prevent as many, but it's just so odd. And so where you were, also probably one of the most germ-ridden incubators on the planet yeah. as a school.
Right.
So.
But yeah, we went through and with these couple different disinfectant sprays, and it's just like, I felt like it was, you know, we had our mask and goggles on and just, you know, going through with these sprayers just soaking everything. So it's like,
yeah, one of the things, and I know you've heard one of the things, and we're going to get past it, but one of the things with this whole these pandemic sessions, of the one of the keys to them, and I'm not doing a very good job after the first two, now three episodes, is to not talk about Corona as much as we can. But one of the other reasons, the second thing I wanted to bring up about you, other than, you know, the first of giving you a hard time about how much podcasting you do, is I and I'm not putting on your spot, and I didn't tell you to research this, but I feel like you're a good person to ask this. I'm wearing my support local business shirt, Two Plumbers, Third Wheel, Shamrocks, Exit 6, and Beer Sauce Shop, all friends of mine. And I would throw in Friendship Brewing and Narrow Gauge and Second Shift, and a lot of people have heard me talk about. And that's good. That's great. That's fine and good. But you are a lot closer in with friends and closer with the finger on the pulse of the entertainers that are out there. And I'm sure, you know, when this whole thing hit, I've even saw you share some things. But what are some people doing, not necessarily to get creative, but what can people do for musicians that are out there if they don't know how to go about helping? So, I mean, because you are the biggest supporter. I've said this in my life. I've talked to Steve Ewan a handful of times because of the way I got a family member that's opened up for him quite a bit. And that guy is one of the biggest supporters of local music I've ever met in St. Louis. But when I moved here, you may be just as big. So how do people support local musicians and entertainers right now through all this?
Well, I mean, most of them, like all sorts of them, are doing Facebook Live videos with links to their Venmos or PayPal, and, you know, accepting tips for playing live on the show and stuff. So it's that's one way to help keep them going throughout this time. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of my friends particularly that's their career is
yeah.
working musicians. And so everything is at a complete standstill at the moment. So,
I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but you have a lot of friends that are musicians that are past the point of their career where working for tips is what they need to do.
Right.
And so when people hear that, I want people to understand that the financial pipeline for them 100% cut off. These breweries, these restaurants and stuff can all do curbside.
Right.
In fact, yesterday I did, picked my shirt up, picked up a handful of beers from Beer Sauce. Today I drove up to Florissant to Narrow Gauge and grabbed a couple of 3-4 packs, and they have a tip line where you tip big, all great things. But the musicians and stuff, there's not a such thing as curbside entertainment.
Right.
There are some great ones out there. Like, I've reached out, and I'm gonna go to interview them as soon as it's kind of allowed. And I think we're probably gonna do kind of the same thing you and I've done. But the owner of Backdoor Comedy and Events up here in O'Fallon, they're doing like a Thursday night open mic where guys are coming and they're streaming it. And then they have a, for all intents and purposes, a tip line. And so I bring that up about these musicians that are working for tips. I don't know how much, but there's got to be a tremendous swallowing of pride for some people that have really kind of made it. And now they're back to like almost like it all began again.
Yeah.
And I think like buying merch is probably a pretty damn solid way.
Yeah.
I have an ally. I guess you being our common enemy as a joke. Matt F. Basler, he's got his t-shirt business, and he's got recently posted some entertaining video dancing down the stairs.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of options and stuff out there to do it. I don't know if you're doing this, but you of all people would be great. Have you been sharing when people go streaming live and stuff?
Yeah, I try to share most of them that I can when I find them, and
it's tough.
Yeah,
why don't they just tag you?
Yeah. Some of them do some, and sometimes like I don't know, like it's nice to be that guy, but at the same times it's like when you are that guy, then it's like they expect you for everything. Like I made a little joke online about I usually do my rundown of all the shows in town, and I put one up that said, you know, Friday night in St. Louis, and then
crickets.
And some people found it, I think most people found it funny, and then other people were sad. It was like, and then they were like, I don't know if I should laugh or cry, and I was like, well, you have to laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, I mean, you're allowed both.
Yeah.
The 100%, and one thing that I'm kind of excited about and not excited about is when we come out of this, the amount of local and even national and world level stand-up comics, they're gonna have corona jokes, but it's the best way to cope with it.
Right.
It's just to laugh about it.
Somebody was like, you should start listing off all the live streams and stuff on every night, and I'm like, you know, I was like, I don't know, like,
you do what you can.
Yeah, right. I mean, none of this is like my job. Like, I do it because I'm a fan, but some people expect it from me, and that's
I get that in a sense, and I sympathize with you in this sense, in the line of work that I'm in the building material industry. And I'll take it, like last night, we had a hailstorm last night. Had a person reach out to me and said, who is a roofer, said, hey, do you mind sharing my post? You know me, I'm reliable. And I said, you know, I would, but I also am friends with about 22 other ones on here.
Right.
And unless I'm going to do them all, I'm not going to do any. I mean, you know, if someone asks, I certainly would say, by all means, put me down as a reference if you want, but that's a tough thing to balance. Like, you're Mr. Popular in terms of some of that stuff, but you did not pull up in a BMW or you're not wearing a fancy suit jacket. So, you know, you're not the cheesy 90s record executive, so you're not making a bank on it. There's no cocaine lines here.
Not anymore.
So you mentioned, and I want to ask too real quick, and then we'll switch off this. Is the wife still working? Is she from home?
No, she's been going to work about every day, like, you know, regular schedule. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not, no panic yet in the Presley household?
No, we're good. I mean, I'm still getting paid to stay home now. So.
But you are staying home and watching some Netflix.
Yeah.
And even though me and the flop talked about it this week, I want to hear some of your no doubt deep insight on the life and times of the Joe Exotic and Tiger King.
No, I definitely love that series. And then I also, we spent a whole day watching an entire series of a show called The Circle on there.
That's the house, right?
Yeah. They're all like in seclusion in like an apartment complex. And then like,
yeah. And they're hitting on each other or building relationships without seeing each other.
Right. Yeah. Like some of them are real. Some of them are catfish. They don't know each other. All of it's just through social media essentially. It was like entertaining for sure. It was definitely like garbage TV.
It's weird that Netflix has got into the reality TV it has, because I think one of the things that make reality TV so successful, and I could be wrong, Netflix could be proving me wrong, is the hook at the end of each episode to reel you in to tune in next week.
Yeah, right.
And with Netflix, you just binge straight through it, and there's little suspense, I guess. The one thing, Nerdcast Jay, friend of the show, he said that maybe this is where Netflix is great about it, because he said the thing with Tiger King is the end of each, the last 10 minutes of each episode was so great that it made you binge the next episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're really good at that. Really good at hooking you for the next one. And I thought what was really funny about The Circle, especially, was when they shot it and filmed everything. Even they released it, I think, like January 1st or something like that. So
yeah,
it's been out for a little bit, but I don't think they anticipated us living that now. Like we're all stuck in our own
parallels. Rooms.
Yeah,
are there.
Right. And it's like. So I really connected to it on a whole different level, like watching it in seclusion and stuff. So it's like, it was really weird that, you know, we spend all of our life connecting through Facebook and stuff through social media.
This is kickstarting the imminent future that is Wall-E.
Right. You know? Yeah. So it was wild, but we got into it. But Stacey likes a lot of those different. She watched Love is Blind, and you know,
that's a big one now too. I think the Silver Badger Tommy came on here and talked about it, and he gave his review on it, or maybe no, it might have been Bender. I don't remember which one, but I don't even know what it's about. I know it's a tricky situation under what.
Yeah, it kind of has some similarities for
one guy was rejected because he told the girl, "I could tell you're black by the way you talk."
I don't know. I didn't watch any of it, but except for the last episode. Stacey was the one watching it, and she filled me in on some of it. I think I watched like one of the last episodes with her when they were like getting some of the one couples that made it were getting married and stuff.
Are you like me? Do you have a small bit of feeling bad or disliking yourself that when you don't watch the show, but you find yourself sucked in enough when it's in the background noise and when your wife's telling you about it that you have to watch the final episode? I got to see how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of that, I think. Yeah, I've definitely watched a little bit of it with her. And
she did that shit to me. My wife, the flop, did that to me with Teen Mom. I don't watch it, but I could tell you this. It's almost like a soap opera in a sense that you take 3 years off and still know the plot lines.
Right, yeah.
And every time I do sit down and it's on and say, I'm going to sit and read this book, or I'm going to make this sketch, or I'm going to edit this episode, and she turns it on, I'll be damned if I 15 minutes go by and there's no productivity in what I was trying to do, and I'm just watching the goddamn TV. I hate that. And it's those types of shows. The only show that I am truly proud of myself for not having been sucked into is those godforsaken Kardashians. And they're the queen. They're the royal family of reality TV.
Yeah, she watches all those. She loves Teen Mom. She loves Kardashians. And
your wife seems so awesome on Facebook. But she watches the Kardashians.
She loves all that stuff.
It's hard for me to talk shit like that because, you know, the 50 million people that do watch it, I'm kind of outweighed, you know. So I don't know if you read this about the Tiger King, and we had to look it up. In fact, we watched it and we took it for granted. And then a couple days go by, and I'm like, you know what? I'm looking it up. In the credits and on IMDb, there is credit given to the actual writer and singer of his songs.
Oh, really?
And not him, which the voice was great. But apparently the two guys that did the singing, they were, their whole lives have been novelty musicians, like for parodies and for TV and for our sitcoms and then for things like that.
Okay.
So it was almost like they were in on the joke. Like they're like, we're gonna write these songs for these guys. These songs are fucking insane.
Yeah.
And he took them seriously, and he Milli Vanilli'd us. He put them out like they were his own, like yeah. They were his albums.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, because I didn't think the voices added up, but like they were good songs. I mean, like they sound
well written, professional songs,
right? And I saw a Tiger. I can't get that out of my head. Like I
Tiger song. Yeah,
I sit there and sang that all day long, and like, I even got my some of my friends have all started like covering it online too.
Like, seen like other musicians doing that. I can't wait for the. I want the most famous person to cover it. I don't know who that is, but there's some really. There's got to be somebody out there that's going to put one up, and we're going to be blown away by it.
Yeah.
When he was singing at the worst funeral in the history of mankind for his husband.
That was one of my favorite moments, just because like
right after he talked about his balls at the funeral,
right?
Then he started singing a song, and what was great is one, it was awful. It was a giveaway.
Yeah.
Hey, he's not the talented. This is not grief voice. This is just a bad voice. And two, when you pan the funeral goers, there were three or four that were kind of singing along. And then 12 people with the most angry go fuck yourself face I've ever seen at a funeral. And I've seen some people swallowing a lot of anger at funerals over things.
Yeah.
But that was way better.
Yeah, that I'd never seen a funeral like that, like especially sitting there talking about his balls, his golden nuggets, I think they
Nuggets. Yeah. So also I read too through some article, and I want to ask you what your thoughts on it. They say it's still ruled as an accidental death. And the guy killed himself.
Right.
That was on purpose, right? I mean, surely a guy that was so prolific and so, well, he was very blasé and carefree with how he handled guns where he was driving it. And this is Travis Maldonado.
Right.
He was driving on his four-wheeler and no hands pointing guns at the camera. So he was pretty reckless. But you put a gun to your head and you pull the trigger, even if you take the clip out, you have to. There has to be a desire to do that. I mean, that's a suicide. Sure. That's not accidental death.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of that, like, even in the video, like, I mean, leading up to that point in the show, which there was a lot of stuff on the film, like, where you realize, like, yeah, he's spiraling out. I mean, you know, he's definitely following in a deep depression. I mean, with the alcohol and the drugs and everything else. And then, like, you just, you know, so it was all there, and then it just mattered.
I kind of wish they would have dove into drugs more, because I was telling, I don't know if the Flop and I talked about it on the episode, but we talked about it certainly upstairs on the couch. I think drugs had way more to do with that story than they let on, and they really only gave like an episode to the meth use. I mean, it had to be rampant. I mean, you look at the women, you look at the fact that Travis wasn't a bad looking dude when he first met him. And then he looked like shit by the day in. And then the long haired blonde dude, I can't think of his name, but one of the head caretakers for the animals, head trainers, he, by the end of it, I think he was on drugs during the little confessionals.
Right.
I mean, yeah. And I don't know what was going on with Doc or the murderer Carol, but, I'm guessing in Doc's camp, like I think I told this to the Missy on here, there was more like mushrooms and ecstasy going on in that camp with that polygamy colony or cult or whatever. And I don't know that Carol was necessarily on drugs, but she is a murderer. I mean, there's two certainties in this world. Epstein didn't kill himself, and Carol murdered her husband.
Right.
But like I said, man, I gave that a 5 out of 5. Probably my favorite documentary of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely highly entertaining, and a lot of really good like BuzzFeed shared like a thing with like all the different tweets about it and stuff, and there was like a lot of really good points that I didn't think about like while I was watching it. There was one like in the show, like when they talked about Carol killing her husband, how like that wasn't even like a focus on the story. It was, you know, and then like Joe's like, well, you know, she killed her husband, right? And then they're all like,
yeah,
what?
So if you step back and break down the way the documentary is put together, and a teacher would say, well, this is awful storytelling. You guys throw these plot twists in here with no setup, no foreshadowing, and really have nothing to do with your central story. But that's what made it so great.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Travis and I can't remember his other husband, Joel?
Joe. Yeah, Joe Finley.
They're also not really gay. They've impregnated women. I'm really just trying to want the world to know Carol killed her husband. And then they tell the story of the husband's like, well, this is weird storytelling, but so goddamn effective. I don't know anything like that.
So I did read a little thing that said, I forget the filmmaker's name, but when he pitched the idea on how he got Carol involved, because she wrote like a big long thing after the series came out that she was like, you know, mad at how they did it all and whatever.
Betrayed her like a crazy old lady.
Yeah. But she was saying like when he came to her and got her to, you know, sign off on this was like, the pitch was it being about like, kind of like what Blackfish did with SeaWorld.
I saw that.
And it was supposed to be like that. For
tigers,
and you can tell. Like I went back and I started the series over just the other day, just because like, is that batshit crazy? I wanted to like, you know, see what I missed.
And, was I on drugs and didn't know it at the time?
So I go back and I'm watching episode one, and you listen to it, and then you think about that, and like it really does kind of get into that, because like the fact that he even stumbled upon in the very beginning where he stumbled upon that guy having that cat in his van. And he's like, that's kind of what sparked the whole idea.
Yeah.
You know, and he realized, well, it did come from a very real place at the beginning, but he had no idea, like, how crazy the story was going to get.
Yeah, he probably jumped into it. And I'm sure I have no doubt there was a little bait and switch on her on the storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
On how, or the framing of it. But like you said, I mean, it was like, what's another one that's done? The one that was on, Icarus on Netflix. It's a guy who started just an athlete, like a cyclist, who wanted to see what the effects really of blood doping, how it could improve. He was an amateur, but he's done races.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to do the same blood doping program that Lance Armstrong did to see how it would improve. But he wanted to bring in some experts, and somebody said, oh, you should talk to this guy in Russia. Here's his number. And so that was the documentary set out to do that. And then midway through the documentary, the guy in Russia says, I have to get out of this country because they're going to murder me because we've been fixing the Olympics. And it led to the Russian Olympic, you know, teams getting banned from Olympics. It's like, you can start out telling a story, and when you're involved with all those crazy fucks that the Tiger King was involved with, you've got, essentially, they didn't even do enough when Doc, who gets, by the end credits, spoiler work, by the end credits or the post, you know, scenes or postscripts, he gets arrested. We don't even know why.
Yeah.
Euthanizing animals, one, probably NXIVM-type brainwashing of women and having a harem, two. I mean, pick a story with him. And, yeah, and even that Jeff, they talked about, you know, he was going to be the savior of the Joe Exotic's place, and they start talking about fighting, and then somehow he became an FBI informant, like, to save his ass.
Yeah.
But they didn't really go into what all his real deep criminal background was, and they really didn't get in too much of how he fucked up in Vegas. Yeah. You know, I'm like, there's a sequel here. That's probably what it is. It's the fall of the Tiger Kingdom or something. Yeah. I don't know, but
yeah, there was definitely some crazy stuff in that story. I did also appreciate like. People are like casting the movie version of it. Like,
I haven't seen any of those.
So
yet.
There's been some of that. Like and like if they do that, like I think it could be really great, especially if the people that they cast in it. Like there was like Danny McBride as Joe Exotic.
And if they didn't want to put him as Joe Exotic, they could make him Doc too, because he's a little heavier set. Sure. It still would work. Danny McBride for any character in that goddamn.
Well, I think Doc. They were looking at. Some people put Will Ferrell or John C. Reilly just because, like, they were both crazy enough to pull it off, too. And,
I could see that.
That main zookeeper guy with the sunglasses and long blonde hair and stuff, they were like Bill Hader as that guy.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. So
we're talking a straight comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be, you don't even have to write jokes. They're there.
I thought it was pretty good. I'm like, if they could do that, like,
could you imagine Danny McBride doing the scene where he's trying to talk about being out of jail and returning, and then the tiger attacks his foot, and where he's flipping out? Danny McBride, you know, Eastbound and Down version of McBride would pull that scene off to a T.
I thought that was a really good one too. With Travis was I'm blanking on his name now, but from Star Wars, Adam Driver.
Oh, Adam Driver. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's Adam Driver pulls also has this weird balance of being an ugly redneck and a handsome guy. Yeah.
Well, he looks just like that.
He's got the
hair and the mustache and all that.
They're both giant men. Adam Driver's a big dude.
Yeah.
You know, I told Missy going in, and I want to go back to Carol one more time, but I told Missy going into it. Before we even watched the trailer, it was like, she goes, it's about like exotic animal parks. I go, oh, those are bad. I said, anytime you see someone posing with a tiger, that tiger's heavily sedated. It's bad for the tigers. And like you said, it kind of starts there. But Carol, they talk about Carol, I wanted to dive into what she does more than they did, because yes, she doesn't allow people to pose with cubs and tigers and stuff, because you do have to heavily sedate them to do it, and it isn't great for the animal. But other than that, I can't really see the difference in her and those other guys.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. That's what I felt at the exact same point. Like,
she doesn't need cats either.
Yeah.
If the law passes, I should say, hey, by the way, you're not a zoo. You're not trained. You're not a vet. You're nothing. You're color-coded shirt-wearing people don't even get paid.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, here's the other question I have. The dude bought a stolen Hummer from the guy, from the FBI informant guy, on $138 a month?
Yeah.
Where did their money come from?
And he's like, there was another scene where he's like got some kind of like Lotus or something, and like, you know, he had a couple of nice cars.
Not to mention the $1,200 assault rifles that they're firing.
Right. Yeah, I don't know where they got all that stuff. And
again,
yeah.
Meth.
Yeah.
Selling drugs.
Right.
Like, it's very odd.
Yeah. There was a thing I thought was really a good point, too. Like, I didn't catch it necessarily. Like, I remember hearing it, but I didn't put it all together. But how, speaking of that BuzzFeed tweets thing and stuff, somebody tweeted out, like, when Carol said, they were talking about the scene when Joe is attacked by the tiger on his boot and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, said they put a cologne on his boot or something like.
Yeah, there's some animal smell on there for to drive him crazy or something.
And then like, and Carol's like laughing. She's like, yeah, if they wanted a tiger to eat him, they would put sardine oil on him or something like that. And then it's like, or I don't know. And it's like.
Yeah, Missy laughed at that too. She goes, well, she would know.
Yeah, right. As I was like, it's just funny how she played it off. Like, or, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. But like, really, that's a weird.
That sounds like that's the version of OJ's book.
Yeah.
If I did do here's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Sheer insanity. Again, well worth watching. You talked about the circle. Have you dove into any movies yet on Netflix?
Not on Netflix really. But we did just go watch. But the last time we went to the theater, we went to watch Onward, and I listened to your show the other day, and you mentioned it. That was kind of one you
Wait for April 3rd.
Yeah,
because it's free.
Yeah, I think it's on digital download at the moment, and then it's coming to
Disney Plus
here.
Worth watching, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Like
Kevin Smith had a wake and bake a couple mornings ago, and he just bawled like a baby while he was watching it.
It's definitely there's a lot of really funny stuff. It's just kind of a good action adventure type of movie.
Yeah, and it checks a lot of boxes for me. It's essentially lack of a better correlation, a Dungeons and Dragons story.
Right, yeah.
Told with a kid longing, two kids missing their dad.
Yeah.
But
it's sort of that whole, question, if I had one more day, kind of thing. And
I'll say that makes you almost want to tear up right there.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, especially for me, I just lost my mom. And, like, so, like, it was definitely me and Stacey are both, like, crying, watching it, like, because she lost her dad a while back, and
you don't have to get too into this if you don't want to. But I'll say this: if I lost my mom, my mom died a month before I met Missy. There would be these random stupid times over the next year. Well, to be honest with you, it still goes on from time to time. But like, there was one time we were watching Fight Club, and me and Missy had a couple bottles of wine. And we were watching Fight Club, and we weren't even married yet. This was a couple years, and the scene where the woman gets up and was talking about how she has cancer and stuff, I start crying like a baby. Like those, and I gotta tell you, it does suck, but coming out of those times, you feel so good that you had that moment of you seen? Have you had some of those like random, like,
oh yeah,
ah, shit, mean, this reminds me of mom? And
well, you know, there's definitely been a lot of that. Like, I wrote about it online the other day, just because, like,
I didn't see that
one. It just seems like there's just a lot, like, you know, every little thing, like even watching that show, The Circle, like, there was a part where they've been, you know, in seclusion for quite a while, and then one of their rewards was they got a video from their family. So one guy got a video from his mom, and, you know, she was just saying how she's proud of him and all this stuff like that. And I was
that'll get you.
Yeah, so I'm like,
get you. So my mom dying probably was the first thing to soften the tough, manly exterior that was my pre-25s, my pre-30s. And then having daughters. And now I can't – I tell you, I was watching, of all fucking things, I was watching the Today Show this morning. And Drew Brees was on there talking to Hoda about how he gave the $5 million to raise money for the home – or to feed the homeless and feed the poor in New Orleans, which is like – New York and New Orleans are like two of the worst spots for COVID-19 right now and badly prepared for it. And when they – he had this ability to tell what he did without any conceit, without any with no grandstanding. He told it like, well, this is what I do because I can afford to do it, and I should do it. Like, this is, I mean, I would be more insulted for the people that wouldn't think I would do it. It's kind of the way, like, he's such a good person, and they come out of the interview, and Hoda is trying to read the T's to go into commercial break, and you could tell she felt the same way. I mean, she was the one talking to him, and he was clearly on Skype, but, you know, I mean, she was in the conversation. So any of that warmth, any of that compassion, she probably felt full bore, and she just starts crying. So Savannah, who's recording out of her house, they have her on live feed. She's like, oh, Hoda, she goes, I will read the tease for you. And she has to, like, they've had moments like this in the last couple of years since they've went to the new format where they've been choked up, but she flat out started crying. So I'm sitting here watching it by myself for the family wakes up, and I start crying.
Right.
And I only blame my mom and my daughters for that. like I would have never cried when I was 24 over that crap, but that's, right. But that's good. I mean, like I said, you come out of those things, like, sometimes feeling bad and crying is the best way to feel better.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing, when was your father-in-law? When did
he's been gone probably, I think, 8 years now.
Okay, but still, it
something like that.
Yeah. So so with me, with my wife, when her mom died was after mine, and I'm sure this probably is for your wife, probably was a little the same thing. Seeing her go through it, it like 100% made me feel what I felt like when I went through it, and I even had to walk out of the room and her stepdad at the time was like, well, I didn't think it would hit Jeremy that hard. And she's like, well, his mom died a year ago.
Right.
So this is going through it again. Like, you never get over it.
No.
But that's what makes you know they made a great impact, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely felt it with Onward and just like a lot of just like you're talking about, just kind of random moments. You didn't really expect it coming. And then all of a sudden it hits you and you're like, damn, I didn't think I'd get choked up watching this and whatever. But
so when did you go see Onward?
It must have been like the week before really shut everything down because, like,
yeah, that was
so,
it.
So
I mean, that movie probably was the last big movie in the theater.
Yeah, I remember somebody wrote like when they announced that Onward was going to Disney Plus and everything, or they were like, really already? And I'm like, well, they can't go see it in the theater, so might as well try to get some money out of it. And like,
the big one is the big one that we'll see what happens is, and we talked about on the show, Bloodshot, which is a very big comic book genre movie, kind of akin to Judge Dredd in terms of the following. And for those that, I mean, Judge Dredd was the Stallone one, but there's a really, really exceptionally good one called Dredd, which is the much superior film, and it had a very, I mean. This movie's probably got a little more buzz around it than that because it's Von Dussel, who just, you know, I joke on his name, Vin Diesel, who, you know, so it's got Fast and Furious crowd already built in. Well, they chopped it not to go to the theater whatsoever. The big one's going to be Black Widow. I mean, Black Widow is set to be the next Captain Marvel, a giant female-helmed film, going to be massive successful. It looks amazing. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of good pieces that appeal to, you know, crosses out of the comic book world into, you know, it's got Hopper from David Harbour from Stranger Things. That's going to bring a crowd. It's got a lot of good people in it, and it would, all intents and purposes, probably be the first massive movie of the year. That's set to open in 2 weeks. That's not going to open.
Right.
Let's see what they do with that. Is it going to set the record for most on, you know, video VOD out there?
Right.
Because I got to think, I mean, you know, just by sticking my toe in the water and not being an expert, I'm certainly no doctor and no politician or no lawmaker. I mean, we got 4 more weeks of this minimum.
Right.
So what's going to happen with those type of things? I mean, that's what's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen like Fast and the Furious and Quiet Place 2, and a lot of them are shelved until this is like our, and then Bond was bumped back to the fall and
yeah,
stuff like that. So a lot of these movies are.
That's a weird one too with Bond, because, and this doesn't hit close to home for me, but it affects my household. I've got girls that are massive Billie Eilish fans, and it's a banner to get the Bond song. And she got the Bond song. You know, it's her song, is the James Bond theme song. And I heard it on the radio for a week, and when this hit and they pushed the movie back, I haven't heard it again.
Yeah.
It's almost like they even pulled that back and like, whoa, let's don't overplay it.
Right.
Let's milk it when the milking is ready. When the cow's ready to be milked, that's when we're going to squeeze it for all it's worth. That's just weird. That's a weird one too.
Yeah, man. It's, I don't know. I was, on the way over here, I was listening to, Stern Show, and they're kind of like you're talking about, you know, how the Today Show is doing it on, doing the live feed like that, and like Stern Show is doing that too. Like they're calling it live from the bunker. They're all recording at their houses and stuff. And they were talking about how like this is, they're all in their 60s, and they're like, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And, you know, it's like, this is stuff that hasn't happened since like, you know, 1918 or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff. Like, you know, it's like,
and no one, there is some people that have been alive since then, but no one really, you know, could paint a clear picture of what it was like then.
Right.
Especially compared to now.
Sure. But it's weird, man, that how much of an effect it's having on like everything, you know, just like the whole, and like the whole world, and how like.
We talked via text yesterday. I threw it out to the boys, and we've got essentially a podcast thread for texting, and I threw it out to everybody. And you know, the wife's built in, so that she's the easiest to get on. She would have been on today, but she's finished. She's still working today. But I said one wife is very anxiety ridden, and the other wife works in the medical field. And I said, so I get that you guys can't come over, but anytime, if you feel like you can. You know, it's not like we got any sports going on. It's not like, you know, the door's open. The mics can be turned hot at any moment. Just come over. And, you know, Bender said, you know, he goes, I would love to, but, you know, my wife works in the medical industry. So we're probably those people that shouldn't be out in public. And he's right with her seeing sick people and she more around pregnant women. But even that, you know. He probably shouldn't take it to her, shouldn't go back. And then Tom, he just like, I'll tell you his funny joke off the air. But he made a great joke, which pretty much let you know that no, he's not coming over. But, we did talk about maybe moving to, I don't want to do them both, because I think multiple people Skyping or calling in is too convoluted and too messed up. But I may do, like, maybe the next episode may just be me and Tom or me and Bender, and we're going to do it via Skype. And you, the only other guest I've ever had was with you, was Lexi.
Yeah.
And that worked fine. That worked great, actually.
Yeah.
She sounded good in the recording. So, and there's some technologies even advanced since then with, like, Microsoft Teams and Zoom and all that stuff. So we can make it even work better. But those are options. I mean, those are options of what we might end up doing.
Yeah, I've been trying to consider it, trying to figure out.
That was going to be my lead-in question from that is, how many episodes do you have to release, and are you thinking about doing that?
Yeah, everything I have, like, recorded is all out there, except for I'm still working on, I've been doing my monthly songwriter showcase, and I got kind of backlogged on all those with mom being sick last year and stuff. So
it gives you something to do.
Right. So I'm catching up on those. The last one I posted was from November. So I'm catching up.
I didn't see your last episode, but you're not at 800 yet, right?
Yeah,
798.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if I missed one since then.
That was the November Songwriter Showcase, and then.
So we're closing in on 800.
Yeah, and I was supposed to record it last weekend, but we, you know, with all this going on, and and my uncle, as I invited him to be my 800th guest, guest for my 800th show, and he. He wasn't feeling so great, and his wife was kind of, you know, nervous about it too. And she's like, you know, you just need to
pump the brakes.
And so he's better now, and I think we're going to try it for this weekend. So,
That'll be good.
So, yeah, hopefully we can get together.
So is $7.99 going to be another singer-songwriter and then $800 with him?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I haven't we'll figure it out. But, yeah, I don't really have anything else recorded. Like I said, I caught up on everything.
If we go a month without a RPP.
Yeah. It's
like one of the seventh signs of the apocalypse. Right. The seals have been broken.
Which is crazy because, like, even all this, I haven't really been recording a whole lot, but I've been catching up on everything. I've still been doing, like, at least two a week. So I've still been putting out content for everybody. But
I haven't had a chance to ask you about the other hat you put on with the band management.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did that happen?
So I've known Spanky for several years now. He's the leader of the band. Real name is Phil Manaus, and he is
Spankonia.
Spankonia.
Spankonia. Spankonia. Yeah, that makes sense the way you say it that way.
Yeah, it's like Stankonia from Outkast, with Spank. Which is why we're the inspiration and stuff.
Is awesome.
Yeah, so he he played in a band and still does a group called the Provels. In St. Louis, and they're kind of this funky group, and they actually do a funky, like, instrumental version of "So Fresh, So Clean." So it's
he's a big Outkast fan.
Yeah, like it's been there for a while. Like, and they don't—that's the only Outkast song they do. But it's like it's really fun to hear them doing it live because, like, don't see a lot of people doing Outkast stuff. So, but they just do—they don't do the rap over it. They just do the instrumental of a version of the song. So, but anyway, they. So he's been very active in St. Louis for a long time playing music, and it got to the point where he was sort of burnt out on some of the projects, just was looking to do his own thing. And he goes, I want to get together and have dinner, and I want to talk some, you know, personal and business stuff. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. So we sat down at Sauce on the Side out here in Wentzville and had some dinner. And they do a monthly special, and it was these breakfast calzones.
Oh, those are awesome.
With breakfast eggs and bacon and sausage. And
I've only had them once, and those are awesome. Yeah,
so good. So I figure if I keep talking about them enough, maybe they'll sponsor my show. So
I love Sauce on the Side. They sponsor The Point. We're basically right. The Point,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
But he went into the meeting with the intent that he wanted you to be the manager.
So that was his idea. It was like, he knew I was very well connected, and he wanted to. So he pitched the idea, like, would you want to manage the band? And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Like, I've never done it, but I'll figure it out. And
for those that don't know, especially at this level, what's your function for them?
I mean, really, like, all I'm trying to do is help them get more gigs and exposure and
talk to more people and get them booked,
right? So what enticed me was that it's a brand new project. I don't have to change anything or whatever. We can make it whatever we want it to be. So, so a lot of the early stuff is just more or less, general marketing. Like, I got us stickers, I got a hit up Matt, I got us some T-shirts printed.
Did you create the Facebook page for him?
I think he did that. But all that kind of stuff.
Well, after you announced it, I just started seeing it pop up in my feed quite a bit. So but that's you probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working it too. I mean, we're definitely a team. We have been working it together, but. We're working up the social media, trying to get we got hit up for our very first and still only gig, because right after that everything shut down.
But my last comment was going to be, good timing, Shane. You managed them right into the apocalypse.
So we had a gig on in the end of February over at Old Rock House, opening for this group called Jocelyn and the Sweet Compression out of Lexington, Kentucky. And
how were they?
They were incredible. Like, really solid band. And she's got amazing vocals.
I think I saw the share of it and saw some of that pop up too.
She's I have a feeling like nobody was hardly there. It was a Thursday night. And it was like, you know, it was our first show. It was their very first time in St. Louis.
Next time they come through.
But I think next time is going to be a whole difference because, like, she's going to take off here soon. I also learned, like, she's managed by the same group that manages, like, Tyler Childers and stuff. So, I mean, like, and his career's taken off. So I really think, like, she's in good hands, and I think there's a good possibility next year she comes around. It's going to be a whole different story. But we made good friends with them, and they were happy that we were pumping the show as much as we were and stuff. And hopefully will help us open up some more doors and get some more shows booked whenever all this cleans up. So
it's funny, you know, since I've known you, you were doing a lot of podcasts, obviously, but you know, since I've known you, you've turned into a promoter essentially of, you know, with your musical showcase. To your a show organizer, to some of your birthday parties and your Christmas fundraisers, to now management. I mean, I know you couldn't have thought that was where this was all going to go, but I bet you. I mean, you had to want it all. You know,
there was a sense of that. Like, I mean, definitely, there's been times where I've thought about more in band management, like what the next step is going to be, because I feel like all this is working towards something, like where I want to get out of my day job and figure out how to make this a career path. And
we've certainly put in the time. Yeah. I mean, there's no that, you know, they say stand-up comics always say you got to get up and get mic time. If you don't get mic time, you're not really serious about it. But you've certainly logged, like you had mentioned earlier, the promotion and stuff that you've done for bands, it's not like they pay you. Right. So you've done enough pro bono hours that you should have your law degree by now, you know.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Like, at one time I was thinking it'd be a lot of fun to like open up a venue.
You said that first time you were on the show, you talked about having your own venue.
And I like, that's kind of always been the background too, like thinking about, like, you know, I've got enough of these contacts. It wouldn't be any problem to fill up a calendar full of
quality musicians. Yeah.
So
what do you think too, about, since you brought up the venue, about our two new venues, the one in Chesterfield and then the one in Maryland Heights?
I mean, who knows? I do know that
the Maryland Heights one will be first. It was supposed to
be open at the end of May,
but, and we'll see.
Right.
I mean, they have shows booked and legitimate shows.
There's a lot of big stuff coming through there this summer, because it's like, I feel like that's pretty ideal for what St. Louis really needed, because we had you know, you had the Fox, the Stiefel, the Pageant, all kind of hover around, 2,500, 3,000 people, and the indoor. And I heard that St. Louis Music Park in Maryland Heights,
that's the name of it,
is going to be like, remember, it's going to be like 4,000 or so, and it's outdoor. And that
how much does Riverport or whatever the name of it is now.
I think it's like 16,000-17,000 or something like that out there.
Because it seems like there's been some Point Fest where there's well over 20,000 people.
Yeah, maybe it's closer to 20. I don't know. It's definitely something like that.
So it's that's a large show,
right?
So this is that step up from the Pageant,
right? But still like mid level headliners. Yeah. You know, I know they, like, the first show they have is like Kesha. I mean, I have Collective Souls headlining a show out there. A lot of, like,
very good that you could see getting 4,000 to 5,000 people.
Still solid acts, but they're not going to be doing the Riverport by themselves.
Yeah, not a stadium yet.
Right.
So there's
that one. And I think, like, there's Music Factory is the one in Chesterfield.
And that one they're billing as the Pageant St. Charles County.
Right. Essentially, that's kind of what they want to do. It's more going to be a theater type of. About 2,500, I think, or somewhere in there. And
which could be great too, but, you know, one of the things the Pageant has going for it is it's the Pageant.
Yeah.
It's been around a while. It is accessible down closer to downtown. Now, they're making a whole entertainment area there in Chesterfield with Topgolf, the whatever's going beside that and all that stuff. So it could work. I'm not poo-pooing it before work.
Right.
But that one seems riskier to me than the St. Louis one, the Maryland Heights one, because that one's also, I mean, essentially the St. Louis Blues will keep that thing open.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's also Live Nation managed. So
that makes sense too.
They're still going to be getting all those acts and stuff. So.
Yeah, they have the pipeline.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think Music Factory is more of a private owner type of thing.
Okay.
So.
I had to, not wasn't trying to be rude and going into my phone as you were talking, but I had to look up to make sure I got the name right, and my buddy will yell at me if he hears this.
I don't even know where it is. He seems to be rolling full bore with this Freedom Jam, our Freedom Fest, Freedom Jam, I think, 2020, which is this Operation Triage. It's a fundraiser to raise money for, we haven't talked about it on my podcast yet, but it's a fundraiser to raise money for building essentially cabin and retreat areas for veterans with PTSD and things of that nature. And he's quietly lined up a show of those people, like you mentioned, like the band from Kentucky, of people that are like on the verge of ready to break out, people that have moved to Nashville and committed. And I know that I turned him on to you, and there was some back and forth, and I know you asked, what are we trying to get out of it to him? And the thing is, he's not a promoter. He's nothing. What he does, though, is he does kind of what you've done for Free for People. He's done for, like, causes, like cancer, raising money for cancer. He's done a lot of that stuff in St. Louis and shared a lot, and he jumped on this one. This is my friend Brian, and I don't know what the turnout's going to be for this or what have you.
Yeah.
And he's done a good job of promoting himself, and that's why I told him, I told him to just, you know, a month or two out is when, like, when I turned him on to you, I said, you might want to go on this guy's podcast if, you know, if he's got an opening spot and talk about it so more people will hear about it. Because you've done a good job of all kinds of music.
Right.
Whether it's bluegrass, folk, you've had everything. So you've got a diverse audience, and I thought that might help more than, because unfortunately, well, I've seen some musicians start pushing it, but I don't see a lot of the stuff popping up in my feed outside of what he's popping up. And I'm like, you need to start screaming from the rooftops and talking to some guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know how this thing is shaking it up. I think that's August, so he's got some time. I think it's August. That could be cool. I mean, you know, for St. Louis, and like I said, you know, talking about your pro bono work, I was like, this is why you should talk to this guy, because he, at least if he talks about it, somebody will hear it. So
hopefully.
Yeah, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came on, because I've been meaning to talk about that for a while. So that is, and that's why I opened up my phone. That is Freedom Jam, which has got a really cool poster. I know the guy that made the poster. That's Diamond Music Hall. I don't know, where's that at?
So Diamond Music Hall is the,
it's here in St. Peter's.
Right. It's the old like country line dance place over there next to, like,
where's it at? Why am I blanking on where this is? Oh, this is over there by Shamrocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right behind
Chuck
Shamrocks.
Chuck E. Cheese and all that shit over there. Not Chuck E. Cheese, whatever it is, Monkey Joe's or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, now, how big is that inside?
It's pretty big. It's a pretty good size there. I mean, like,
It's not a club or anything anymore then. It's an actual.
Originally, it was billiards, music hall and billiards, but I think the pool tables are still there, and then they got,
you gotta take those down when you have a concert.
There's a pretty big concert, a stage area still. Like,
okay.
So you can have both. I mean, that's a big old room.
Yeah.
So, and then they just built on a bigger stage. I haven't been in it as Diamonds, but I've been, you know, in that room.
Okay.
Years ago.
And so that's Saturday, August 29th, for the people that are listening, from 4 to 11. So that's a long day of music. And that is, I don't even know where I should kick him and tell him to make it more, understandable as to who's there. Cause I can't just scroll down the damn thing and see who's in the show. So I'll find that link. I do know
one of my buddy, Matt Wynn, very talented singer songwriter. He's been on my show twice, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. And he had reached out to Matt if they can come on your show. He's going to come on your show, he would do it with him or something like that.
And Matt also played my mother's benefit in September.
What a guy.
Yeah.
So you're close to Matt.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And he's one of my mom's favorites. And
You know, at the very least, there is someone of quality, even if you don't know the other guys. It's going to be good music. Yep. I mean, the one thing that Brian is good at is he really puts his heart and soul. His name's Brian Judy. He's a friend of mine through the industry. He puts his heart and soul into these fundraisers for people. So if you're listening to this, I'll link Operation Triage's Freedom Jam. I made the joke about the poster because I made the poster. And so I'll link that, and I'm overdue to do that for him anyway. So I should have been doing that a long time ago. I'm going to kick myself. And it's in August, so we assume. My thought is the world's going to start getting back to normal in June. It's not, like I said, I'm no expert, but I think I don't think Easter's going to work for President Trump. I think May's going to be tough.
There was a good joke I saw online. Like, after this is all over, we're going to have one hell of a Cinco de Mayo, Easter, whatever, you know, St. Patrick's Day of 4th of July kind of holiday. Man. Like, roll it all into one.
You know, for the people that are, like, talking about this thing that are like, this is overblown. I tell the people this. I go, first off, what is the number one governing driving force for our country? What fuels majority of every facet of our country? That's money. The fact that City of St. Louis closed one of its big money-making parades, its basketball tournament that brings in a lot of money, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, these are organizations ran by the most rich boys club members of all time. And if there's one thing they love, is getting richer. The NFL owners, they don't like making money. They like getting exponentially richer. So the fact that all these things are closed down, yes, it's a serious thing. So that's what, like tying it back to that festival, let's hope that we're back to June. Let's hope that we're back. Hopefully May, like you said, May 5th to me, everybody was like, oh, how great in our country would it be if Easter was when everybody could get back out and you could go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Well, by God, if May 5th was when we were unleashed, we take the dogs off the chain,
right.
I'm going to go drink a gallon of margaritas on that day. Yeah. I can tell you that right now.
Some of the speaking earlier with all the Tiger King and all this, and now no sports. It was one of my favorite memes, which I've been really enjoying the memes coming out. Is says day 14 of no sports, watching a gay zoo manager seduce straight men with tigers and meth. So it's like,
one of the early ones that I liked was, I joked with you about, did you know you were married? Due to this shelter at home, I've now got to meet, I've learned things about my wife that I guess I'd forgot.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, her favorite color is yellow. Who the fuck likes the color yellow? there's been a lot of clever things coming out of it. And, you know, so the things that do suck, though, is, and I've mentioned this, is about all of our local businesses and our local musicians. So to tie it back, I mean, follow the Rock Paper Podcast, and you will share things as you can. I mean,
trying, yeah.
As you can. I mean, certainly no one should ever be upset with you for not sharing something. And I joked earlier too, for all you musicians or anyone that's listening to this, just tag you. That alone shares it into whatever threads that you're a part, you know, people are a part of with you. So,
right.
You know, I've made the thing on this a while back. I told any local business that wants to come on and talk about how they're going to curbside, or any musician that's willing to brave the world to come sit down here, that I promise I wipe it down with Clorox wipes. I mean, to talk about how people could find, you know, ways for you to make money, I'm all for. I'm lucky in what I do, that I make a very good living, and that I'm allowed to do what I do from home, essentially on my own schedule anyway. So I'm the exception. There's a lot of people out there, and people that we're friends with, that are not. They're the norm. They're the right ones that are hurting. So the stimulus package is only going to go so far. And I made this joke last week. People like my brother-in-law are going to just blow through that money like it's nothing. So, you know, if before, as we, you know, start getting the train closer into the station here, I mean, people that are listening to it, because I do, Matt hates hearing this. Matt Bassler hates hearing this, I'm sure. But every episode that you're on is continually, literally the most downloaded episodes we've ever had has been two of our comic book episodes. Because I know I've had some friends that have posted it in Reddit threads and stuff, and that really drives a lot of traffic. But on just normal everyday episodes have been your episodes. So I know just by those numbers alone, you being on here, more people that listen to you, listen to me, are going to hear it. And yeah, share people's info. If you see a musician out there that is asking for tips, share the damn thing. Right. It's no skin off us. And even if someone just happens to go, oh man, I saw them one time back in the day, hell, I'll give them $10. Who cares? Whatever it is.
Right.
So I mean, like I said, we don't have to wrap up, but I know what's going on upstairs. My wife's getting off work. I've got two daughters that I've told that we're going to go eat out tonight. So, and I intentionally said it this way. I told my family, I said, hey, I've got a plan. Let's go out and eat dinner tonight. And they're all looking at me like I'm an idiot. And they're like, we can't. And I go, no, bear with me.
let's do a curbside pickup, let's drive to a park, let's open the hatch on the car, let's open all the doors, and let's just eat and get out of the house and breathe. So I think that's what we're going to do. So if I don't wrap up the podcast soon, we're going to get it. That door's going to open, and they're going to release the hounds, literally, are going to come down here all over the room, and that's going to be, they're going to start saying, texting me or something. But but what anything else you want to talk about, though? We do not have to park it, but if you've got something, let's talk.
I mean, I think we covered it all. I don't really have a whole lot happening at the moment. I do currently have my singer-songwriter show still booked for April 14th and at Naked Vine.
Now, are they allowed to have people in?
Well, that's what I'm saying. More than likely, this is going to be a closed-door event, and we're just probably going to live stream it on Facebook
for the
night.
That'd be awesome, though.
So at least we'll have something, and I also record, you know, get the recordings and the video and put up as a podcast and all that stuff. So we're still planning to do the show as this recording, but we'll, you know, who knows what the future holds for us. But
well, that'll be fun, though. I mean, I'm a firm believer in, yes, it's surreal that you're having a show that you've done monthly and there's going to be no one in to watch it.
Right.
But it's as close to normalcy as you can get, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. I think they're all still in on it, and it'll be nice, like, just to, you know, at least have something, keep it going. I don't want to pause it, but, you know, if we have to, we have to. But Brian's not, he hasn't been doing music over there since all this shut down. So that's the only thing I have going on right now.
Now, does the Naked Vine, do they have anything that they're allowing curbside and stuff like that?
They do. They are still open as a wine retail shop.
Okay.
You can go over there and still purchase bottles, but you can't. He's not been doing anything for live music or anything like that.
Yeah, so. I didn't know if he had went to, like, for instance, the beer sauces that you can only buy online and pick up. I didn't know if he had went to that.
Right.
But. Which I would be down for it. I need a place to buy wine, so I'll reach out to him. I mean, I'm down.
Yeah. He's got a great place over there.
Well, for those that don't know, we'll wrap up with this. This is Shane Presley, Rock Paper Podcast. Follow it on put it all across all social media. Sometimes you have to drop the T. We make fun of that. and spank on you. Look out for them. Hopefully that gets going soon. I'd like to see that happen.
Also with the band, like, right now we're spending a lot of, like, cover tunes as we're getting our catalog together and stuff, but we're definitely going to be an original band. We're hoping the summer record a record, and by the end of the year...
That doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So.
But by the end of the year, have a record out, and keep an eye on, like, we're going to be moving, like, all of us want to work for it, so things will be happening.
Yeah. The good news is no matter what happens with this shelter in place or how extreme it gets, creative people can always create.
Yeah.
So he can write music and work on that, which is awesome. And, you know, he's got the right manager.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else unless you want to tell anybody else before we sign off. I appreciate you making the trek. Braving the elements, you can take off the hazmat suit that we're both wearing right now, and then we could we'll call it good.
I thank you very much for having me out. Like, it did feel good to get back behind the mic again and record, because it's been a minute. So
if this thing keeps going on, be ready. Yeah. We can do it once a week. I made the joke. I'm doing the RPP schedule for now, man. So I'm doing 2 to 3 episodes a week, whether it's just me or Skyping or whatever.
Just to keep you from losing your sanity and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to get away from my wife, even if it's an hour at a time, not because she drives me crazy, but eventually, with all the shows that snapped shows she's watched, she will murder me. So I'm saving my own life. So hey, that's it. We're going to play the music, and that's the episode. Bye, everybody.